Alonzo, I'd like to welcome you to episode 332 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And I am back in studio with a fantastic comedian, podcaster. You will recognize his voice as the announcer from The Tonight Show for 73 years. Ladies and gentlemen, Stuttering John is in the house. John Melendez. What's up, John?
Hey, Alonzo. Good to see you again.
It's great to see you, man. Thanks for coming in. I've done your podcast a couple of times, so I'm glad to reciprocate, which is something we do in the podcasting business. So I didn't want to talk about it, but we started talking about it off air. So let's get it out of the way. Aaron Rodgers, what is your take on Aaron Rodgers' immunity, vaccine, horse, drug? I don't even know what he's doing anymore.
Well, first of all, his new name is Karen Rodgers because he is the Karen of the NFL. I think it's appalling that he lied to the team. He was not vaccinated. He's in a huddle. I mean, just like we were talking about, there he is. I mean, he could jeopardize the life of, just like we were saying, of a lineman who's got a 3-year-old at home, or as you were saying, it's all Alonzo, but like a grandmother he's essentially saying fuck you to his teammates. And then he lies, And then you know what? Really, I have a problem with Alonzo.
I'm listening.
The woke. Oh, well, I'm going to get attacked by the woke culture. In other words, he's saying, fuck you, Democrats. That's what he's saying.
Now, let's to my listeners, as you may have picked up, John is a Democrat.
Yes, I am a bleeding heart liberal, and I'm proud of it.
I want to talk to you about that, too. But before we go there, regarding Aaron Rodgers, and like I said, my take on it, he's a bad liar. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. The NFL is hypocritical and full of shit. They fined him, what was it, like
$14,000 to a freaking multi-millionaire.
He makes $25 million a year. So you do the math. $14,000. That's like, if the average salary in America is, say, $60,000, he just got $1.40
yes,
fine.
Yes.
A buck and four. But like I said, now you may have a lineman who's supposed to protect you who has a little newborn baby at home that kind of lets a defensive lineman through to tap you one time or whatever. I don't know what they're going to do. I will say this. Quarterbacks run their teams, right? And he's a leader, and he has a certain responsibility. And this, I will compare this to Kyrie Irving, and I've said this on the show, and I'm telling you right now, I respect Kyrie Irving because he made his decision. He made his decision publicly. It's costing him money, and he said, I don't care. I'm not going to get vaccinated. Now, I may not agree with him on not getting vaccinated. I don't agree with him that the earth is flat. There's probably a few other things I don't agree with him with, but I respect his choice and his opinion, and I think that's where Aaron, or Karen, as you said. No, I think that's where he went wrong, in that if you're not going to vaccinate, man up and say, hey, I'm not taking the vaccine.
Yes, and the other problem, Alonzo, is that by calling, us the woke culture, like suddenly that's a bad thing, that we're woke. But it's such hypocritical horseshit. What party is complaining about Dr. Seuss? What party is complaining about Mr. Potato Head?
Listen.
What party is fighting with Big Fucking Bird right now?
John,
who's woke here?
It's not. Listen, it's not even woke. And this is why that kind of thing doesn't. This is why I'll tell you why that kind of thing doesn't upset me. You're mad at people who believe in science. I can't help you. See, I'm done. And we're going to talk more about the unvaccinated. But I'm done arguing with them because there is no argument. There's no argument. You're going to call people names because they believe in science, because doctors say that this vaccine works. Listen, they keep going back to Joe Rogan. Okay, now I know Joe. You know Joe?
I know Joe. I was on Celebrity Fear Factor.
I've known Joe a long time. I'm cool with Joe. I want to ask Joe, what's it like for everything? The whole world is in relation to Joe Rogan. Right? Leave Joe alone. Joe is a comedian. He's a huge podcast host. He's an MMA announcer. Joe Rogan is not a doctor. Joe Rogan's not giving medical advice. Joe Rogan is giving his opinion and his body and what he does. And that's fine. Agree with it or don't agree with it. But if I'm Joe, I don't need Aaron Rodgers saying he's taking my advice. Like, oh, no, no. Take your own hit.
Yeah.
You know, don't tell him that I advised
that's
you.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? That's what, you know, I'm not, whether you agree with Joe or not, that's one thing. But don't use him as your expert. Like, well, according to Dr. Fauci, well, according to Joe Rogan, like, no, no. Even Joe said, I don't know a fucking thing, right? Even he said, like, you know, I'm not going to walk in to a debate and say, well, you know, I was on John's podcast and he said, right, because, you know, I respect you and I respect your opinion, but not a medical expert.
No, no. It's like going to Carrot Top for freaking heart surgery.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, come on.
Exactly.
But here's the thing, Alonzo, and I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on one thing.
I'm good with that.
Joe Rogan broadcasts to 5 million people, and as far as I'm concerned, he has a responsibility to at least give out proper medical information, because the problem we're getting now is a lot of this misinformation, and that is why people are not getting vaccinated and are all kind of reluctant. And that's not a good thing, because we would have been done with this fucking shit by now if everybody got vaccinated. Look, you got your smallpox, you got your polio. Right when you came out of the womb, Alonzo, there was no big debate over it. It's now FDA approved. Joe Rogan, it's irresponsible for him to broadcast to these people that want to believe in the great pumpkin. Do you know what I mean?
Right. And I listen, we'll disagree on that opinion, but I'm going to tell you, this is where I see the difference, okay? I'm glad you brought that up. So this woman, let me look, Emerald Robinson. Have you heard of Emerald Robinson?
No.
She's a reporter for Newsmax. Now, whether Newsmax is real or not, it's up to you, but they do have, she's a White House correspondent. So she's a journalist, okay? So she put out a tweet that the vaccine contained a Satan-linked tracker, okay? She said that it has, what is this called?
I saw this.
Luciferix or something like that, yes. And it glows. Yeah, luciferase glows. It's luminescent so you can be tracked, right? So they took her off her news gig. They took her off of Twitter for a week. They put her back on Twitter, and she said the same thing again. But here's the difference between her and Joe Rogan. She's claiming to be a journalist. She's working for a news station. Joe is on his podcast. Like, if you choose to listen or you now, does he have millions of followers? Yeah, but so does Nicki Minaj. And Nicki Minaj said that if you take the vaccine, your balls are going to swell up and you're going to be impotent. And we were like, Nicki, please just rap. You know.
But wait, Alonzo, my problem with your argument here, and it's not an argument because I love you, you know that.
No, I'm fine with disagreeing. Disagreement is fine.
But my problem is I listened and watched Joe's synopsis on the vaccine, and he was saying how ivermectin has cured millions of people and all that. He was really, really acting as if he knows all about ivermectin. Right. So that's the problem. He's acting as if he is in the know.
But if you listen to Joe regularly, and you know Joe as well as I do.
He's a pothead, too.
Joe's always been into this survivalist thing and taking all these different kind of vitamins and supplements and, you know, just like that's who Joe is. You know what I mean? Like if I go to Joe, Joe's going to give me some alternative medicine advice because he's always done that, right?
So, okay.
So
fair enough.
He is, you know, in other words, he is who he is. Joe knows how. I told Joe when he was here in LA, I said, look, Joe, if something goes down, I'm coming to your place because you know how to hunt animals and like cut them up and survive. Like that's who he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's who he is. And he's always been a big proponent of various supplements and vitamins and this and that. Yeah, he smokes weed and this and that. But listen,
I don't care about smoking weed. It's not a big deal.
But no, but Joe, my point is that Joe is who he is, and he's not Joe's. This woman's claiming to be a journalist. Okay, this woman's a White House correspondent, and she's like, the vaccine contains Lucifer, whatever, that will make you glow, so they're tracking you. I love that they're tracking me, people, because none of them are important enough to track. Okay? No one cares. You're not that important. No one's following you around. You know why? Because you're nobody. Yeah, you're nothing. It's my friend Ruben Paul, who I love, great comic. Yeah. Ruben said, really? You think they're tracking you? You work at Ross. All right? I don't think you have any nuclear secrets.
Can I say something, Alonzo?
Yeah.
And this is the truth, just for everybody. If you have a phone, if you have a smartphone, you're being tracked anyway.
Exactly. They know.
I'll tell you something, Alonzo. I was sitting there with a friend of mine at the pub. I have my phone. It's on. He has his phone on. We're talking about Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And we're talking about 10 minutes about what you huge fans we are. Alonzo, I swear in my life, the next morning I go on Instagram, suddenly there's all ads for DeMone's. Mike DeMone's concert ticket sales. And then that night I talked to that same friend. I go, it was so weird. I got these ads from, he goes, so did I. They're listening.
Siri and Alexa. No, this has come up. This has come up even in court. Siri and Alexa, if you turn them on, they're on all the time. And they are listening. And that's why you get targeted advertising.
Yes.
And let me tell you how deep into the conspiracy I am, okay? My brother's a techie, lifelong techie. And he told me in the 90s, he said, when they started e-commerce, he said one of the things they do is they track everything because the goal will be targeted advertising. In other words, they'll say, John eats this cereal, John wears these shoes, John, you know, likes this movie. And he said it. He said that's the reason they're doing this. This isn't, you know, to make it convenient for you. They're doing it to target you in marketing. And now we live it every day. And yeah, you know, we're going to get ads for Joe's podcast. Right? Because both our phones are sitting here. They're going to be like, are you signed up? Are you a subscriber?
I'm sure we will.
So, but getting back to the vaccine and the anti-vaxxers, and I want your opinion because I don't understand this at all. Police and fire departments all over the country are fighting vaccine mandates, right? Mm-hmm. Last year, the number one killer of police was COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right here, there's a story. And these stories are individually tragic, but collectively ridiculous. And Officer Jack Nice, NYCE in San Francisco, okay, avoided getting vaccinated, refused the mandate, blah, 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 tested positive, 4 days later, dead.
It's sad.
How do you talk to people like that? How do you talk to, and you know what, when you, like you talked about Joe having a responsibility because of his following. If you're a police officer or a fireman, you signed up for a responsibility
to protect and to serve.
Protect and serve and save lives. And yet you refuse to get vaccinated. And like you said, you've been vaccinated for polio and smallpox, and you know, you get your tetanus shot, right? If you're a fireman and you go in and get cut by a rusty building, mm-hmm. a rusty door, you get a tetanus shot.
Never question it.
Never, no problem. What is going on, John? How do you talk to him?
Well, first of all, the problem, and I hate that all roads lead back to Trump. But the problem was he was an anti-vaxxer, and he was the one that was, you know, about COVID's just going to disappear, and then he's telling people to inject themselves with freaking household cleaning products. You know, it's really, I mean, look, when history looks back at this, they're going to go, what the fuck was wrong with these people? I mean, they literally believed a lunatic. I mean, and that's what happened. And then it all became about don't take our freedoms away. And that's what's going on now. People are saying, if you force me to get a vaccine, then you're taking our freedom away. And how many right-wing GQP politicians have been saying, first they're going to come, you know, and get you vaccinated, and then they're going to take your guns, and, you know, and that, if they come to try and get you vaccinated, you know, go ahead and protect them, you know, shoot them if you have to. I mean, this is the rhetoric that they're spewing.
We're gonna talk about that in a minute, but all of those people are vaccinated. Every one of those politicians.
Trump got vaccinated after he had the worst case, but he had the best medicine.
Well, see, there's another thing, that they get the best medicine.
I'm sorry, you just get me excited. Now, Ron DeSantis, another anti-vaxxer.
You're right.
He's vaccinated?
Yeah.
It's like all these guys.
Well, everyone at Fox News is vaccinated. You have to get vaccinated.
They have a vaccine mandate.
Right.
And they're spewing anti-vax bullshit. Right.
So the question is, John, how do you get people, like the people listening to this podcast are more than likely on board. But how do you talk to people who are, like you said, I mean, I call it a cult. They're in the cult. And I call it a cult because when you're willing to sacrifice your life, you're in a cult. And like this officer, willing to sacrifice his life. I don't know if you saw D.L. Ugly's post about the unvaccinated police losing their job.
What'd he say?
Brilliant post. He said, you know, to those unvaccinated police who've lost their jobs, you should have just complied.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what they say for every black person who gets killed by the police. So it was a brilliant turn from DL. So,
and I can go off on tangents about, you know, because I got to tell you something. I have friends that are cops in New York, friends from high school, and I'm telling you, Alonzo, I hang out with these people, and there's not just one, not just two. There's like four or five of them. They use the N-word as if they're talking about water.
Right.
Okay. So I'm just saying, like, shouldn't there be some kind of mental test before someone is allowed to become a police officer and carry a firearm?
I have a friend who's Long Beach PD, 20-some-odd years, and they told me, they said, the difference with police departments is the education. They said, like, their police department, you have to have a college degree. And they said, when you have police that have to have a college degree, they're so much better. She said a lot of the other ones, like, they're high school bullies. You give them 6 weeks or 90 days of training, and you give them a gun, and you put them on the street. And it's going to end horribly. I love what you said because it set up something I wanted to talk to you about specifically, okay? You're a straight white male.
Yes.
Okay? So besides the fact you've done everything wrong and we hate you, okay, we got that done. But no, but you're in, John. Like you said, you're friends with these cops who are racist, and they feel comfortable talking in front of you. What is that like for you? Do you give them any pushback?
Hell yeah.
What is, you know, talk to me about that, because here's the thing, and people have asked me, okay, I had an encounter last week. I posted on Facebook. I'm walking my dog. This guy, old white guy, I said, it was near Halloween. I couldn't tell if he was a scarecrow or real, right? And he says, your dog's limping. Do you beat your dog? And I was so pissed, but I also knew I can't do anything to this guy because I'm a big black guy, right? So if I start yelling at him, or I wanted to say, no, I don't beat my dog, but I'll beat you. I'll beat your ass, right? Any of that. Somebody pulls out a phone. It's on video. Suddenly, I'm the one. I'm the aggressor. I'm the problem.
And you have it worse than I do.
Right, right. So
because of the color of your freaking skin.
Right. But so this is my point. So I posted it, and a lot of people are like, man, it sucks, and I get what you're saying. Because I said, this is the kind of shit that black people deal with all the time, mm-hmm. right? And people are like, it sucks. And I said, what can we do? And I said, if you're white, you can talk to other white people. Because when we talk to other white people, they don't listen. When black people tell you, when brown people tell you, whatever, they're like, no, it's not real. You do. What's that like for you when you talk to them? Because you're one of them in the sense of just straight white male, you know, demographic.
They know now. This is years ago. This is about, but any time that any of these people would use the N-word, you know, because I'll give you context. I was talking about taking my kids to Splish Splash, which is a water park out east on Long Island. Mm-hmm. And then one of the cops, who's a detective, a lieutenant, goes, why would you do that? It's full of N-words. And I'm like, dude, what are they, mosquitoes? What are you talking about? Like, I fight them. I do. So now, when I go back to Long Island, they know to not use the N-word around me. They know. Like, so if anybody does, they know they're going to get a fight. So I always do. I'll fight them. I'll literally have a fist fight
with them. I appreciate that. But the question is, and I guess what I'm asking you, okay, I'm flipping the switch, right? Because I'll get asked something black, and it's like, okay, let me speak for all black people right now.
Yeah.
So now you have to speak for all straight white males. How do we educate them? How do we open them their minds? Or are they a lost cause? And if so, how do we get to the next generation?
Here's the odd thing. First of all, I do want to go on record and say I am half Puerto Rican, which so
nope.
My last name is Melendez. J-Lo says Puerto Rican means you're half black. So I'm going to go with her. But no, how do we what was the question again?
The question is, how do we get the message? Like, see, here's the thing, because
well,
this is
what
I hear.
Say.
Hold on. Okay. Let me say one thing because I want
so
you
sorry.
To address
so
it. No, it's fine. But one of the things I hear from straight white males, right, all the time, and you talked about it with Aaron Rodgers, they think they're victims. And I read somewhere or heard somewhere that if you're used to supremacy, equality is prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they are. They're used to supremacy. So the idea of being equal to them,
yeah.
They're somehow victims. So how do you speak to that?
I just want to let you know what their new thing is. Well, there are good black people, and then there are N-words. Yeah. Do you know? Like,
that's
now,
not new, but anyway, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, no,
go
okay,
ahead.
But that's
no,
their,
I know what you're saying.
In other words, because I'll go, dude. You know, you have some black friends. Yeah, but they're the good ones. Do you know what I mean?
Believe me, I know exactly. And yes, we've every black person has heard this. We know this. Yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, I just, like I'm just appalled. I just say, you know, hey, you know, we're all equal, dude. You know, I mean, you know, I like, but see, that's the thing. They know not to go.
How did you learn that?
I had parents, you know, that's, it all comes down to parenting and education. Mm-hmm. I had parents that taught us that everybody was equal, that we were all equal, black, brown, gay, not gay. It doesn't matter. I have a gay child. It doesn't matter. I, you know, as long as my kid is happy, I don't care what their freaking sexual preference is. But that's just because of my upbringing. And you know what? A lot of it, Alonzo, is education. Trump says he loves the poorly educated. You know why? The poorly educated are the people at Dealey freaking Plaza or Dealey Square waiting for JFK and JFK Jr. to show up like Linus is waiting for the Great Pumpkin. Because they're not educated people. I argue with people, and like just on Facebook today, you're a asshole. You're a asshole. It's like the honeymoons. Can you core a apple? You know, right there, I'm going, if you're going to insult me, at least get it right.
At
it's
least an, grammatically.
It's an asshole, you idiot. But they're not bright. And I think racism is for stupid people. And I know it's not just for stupid people.
Yeah.
I know there are smart people that are also freaking lunatic racist. But I think if they were raised correctly and if they were educated correctly, then we wouldn't have this problem. Look at Colin Kaepernick. When I saw Colin Kaepernick take a knee, I wasn't offended. I was like, good for him. Because he's out there standing up against police brutality that is directed at people of color. Oh, all these other people. No, he's disrespecting our military. Fuck off. You know who's disrespecting our military? Donald Trump, who calls them losers and suckers.
Right.
Okay? That's who's disrespecting our military.
You know, and I did this joke back when Colin was doing his protest. I said, Colin Kaepernick, he specifically said, I'm taking a knee, like you said, because of police brutality, racism, et cetera. That's what he said. And what they heard was, I hate the troops, fuck the flag. And you're like, how do you talk to someone who heard something completely different? He spoke English. He wasn't yelling. He explained what he's doing and why, and they decided to hear something completely different. So this is why I say I don't know how to have these conversations. Now, what you said, the key, education, right? So we have this thing called critical race theory.
Yeah.
We're going to teach the history of the United States, and it's not, again, it's not, this is to hate white people. It's like, this is the truth of what happened. And then you see, oh, these people were treated this way. And being subjugated for hundreds of years has carried on into housing, education, employment, and different issues we have today. And it's like cause and effect. And they're like, no, don't teach them that. You know, if somebody posted, and I have to, unfortunately, the young girl's name escapes me, but Rose, the first girl who was stoned, they threw rocks at her when they integrated the schools. You've seen picture.
Yeah.
It's very famous, right?
Yeah, no, I know. It's not Rosa Parks. But
no,
I
it's not
know.
Rosa Parks. I'd look it up, but we're going live. I don't have time. But anyway, they said that the kids who threw rocks at her are now grandparents that don't want their grandchildren to learn that they threw rocks at her.
Ugh. Look, Alonzo, this is how bad it is. I'm sure you've heard about it, but if you haven't, I might as well tell you. In Texas, they want to teach both sides of the Holocaust.
Yeah, we talked about
it. I mean, come on. Alonzo, what kind of fucking, how batshit crazy has this country gone?
Yeah.
What side are you taking to the fuck? What Nazi side are you defending here?
Yeah, it was one of those things that they backed off a bit. But yeah, they were like, well, we got to teach that. And it's right. Like, what would be the good side of that? You know, it's amazing. And I don't understand. It's fear, right? It's fear because they're afraid of the truth. They're afraid their kids will learn. Sorry, I'm trying to Google the girl's name so I can say it.
Correctly.
Ruby Bridges was her name.
Okay.
Ruby.
I'll put another thing out, you know, for you. Barack Obama, to me, is one of the best presidents in my lifetime, if not the whole history of America. I believe Barack Obama was awesome. Now, could you imagine if Barack Obama talked like Trump? And, I mean, how quickly would he be called an uppity black?
Yeah.
Well, how quickly? I mean, thank God that Barack was so charismatic and so calm and so smart. But you know, he had to feel that pressure at all times.
He understood it, right? When you're the first anything, okay, first black, first woman, first whatever, you understand. This is like if you remember in the movie 42, they talked about Branch Rickey said the reason they picked Jackie Robinson because they knew he could take it.
Yeah.
Right. If they had picked, Satchel Paige,
probably
there would have been a lot of white guys with a baseball coming out the side of their head.
Yep.
You know, because Satchel Paige would not stand for it.
Great point.
Barack Obama, he knew what he was going up against being Barack Obama, and he got it from both sides. There were black people who were mad at him, saying he didn't go strong enough for the black race and so on. But he knew that fine line he was on. What I say, you know, besides it's so common that you can't even say it anymore, you know, what if Barack did blank that Trump did?
Yeah.
But here's my take on Barack Obama historically. It'll be between 50 and 100 years before they acknowledge how great a president he was.
He's
at the very least.
He's in the top 10 now.
Yeah, but I'm talking about history. I'm talking about common knowledge. If a white president had saved the U.S. auto industry, just that, nothing else.
Yep.
If a white president saved the United States auto industry, they'd be carving his face into Mount Rushmore. Just for that. Just for America. Like, there would, were no Barack Obama, there's no GM anymore.
Yep.
Gone. GM is gone. Ford is gone with no Barack Obama. Then, you know, then you got the health care plan and our standing in the international community where the world suddenly was like, we respect you again. Oh, in my spare time, I'm going to save housing in America. Like he did all of these huge things. So we already know that. And you bring up politicians. So I want to talk to you about this because, again, this is where we have – it's amazing the pass they give as to Ted Cruz – is talking about Texas, you know, what would happen and how Texas would consider seceding from the union, okay?
And he's going to make Joe Rogan president.
Right, and he talks about, he says that if the Democrats end the filibuster, pack the Supreme Court, which the Republicans already did,
yep.
make Washington, D.C. a state, or pass federal reforms intended to make voting more accessible. Like, he's actually against
yes.
making voting more
yep.
accessible. But more importantly, and this is where I separate the Joe Rogan or the Dave Chappelle or Nicki Minaj or whoever, Aaron Rodgers, from Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is a United States senator.
Yes.
Okay, so he does make policy. He writes, for a United States senator to talk about a state seceding from the union, imagine AOC saying, well, listen, New York's going to leave America. Like, they would want her hung from a tree as a treasonist. Like, how is it, and I'm not a lawyer, but it seems to me almost like that is treason for a U.S. senator to talk about a state leaving union, besides the fact that he would leave the state if it were cold.
I know. Ted Cruz, I have Hal Sparks on my podcast. I don't know if you know Hal.
I love Hal.
Yeah, Hal, he always says Ted Cruz is like a walking embarrassment. Everything he says is ridiculous. Let me just sum up Ted Cruz just like this. He actually had the audacity. I mean, I swear to God, Alonzo, he tweeted once that a way to tell the character of a man is how they handle a crisis. That's how he tweeted that.
Yeah, I know.
Forgetting that when he had a crisis in Texas and people were freezing to death, he decided to go to Cancun and blame it on his kids.
Well, this is this is why
an idiot.
I'm going to tell you why he can do that. Because we as a nation have an incredibly short memory. I said this on my first Showtime special. The United States of America has the attention span of a hamster on crack.
Yep.
He can say it because he knows anything he did last week, nobody remembers, and they don't. And this is why I get mad at the press, at mainstream journalism. Okay, I'm not talking about this crazy woman on Newsmax. They don't hold them accountable. They don't hold him. When Ted Cruz says that, I want to see a real reporter say, excuse me, but when you had a crisis in Texas, you left Texas. So what are you saying? But they never challenge. And the reason they stopped challenging, this happened under, I want to say it happened under the first George Bush. Second George Bush. But they would, and Karl Rove engineered this. If you asked a tough question, you lost access to the White House.
Yep. Yep.
What has the media is the fourth estate. I'm a huge believer in the media. You talk about growing up. I grew up in a house where we had two newspapers delivered every day, morning and afternoon. You remember the Long Island Press?
Yep. Yeah.
The afternoon newspaper. We read that every day. And the press, and I say it all the time, there was a time when if 60 Minutes was knocking at your door, they had a camera at the back door to catch you running out.
Yep.
Like the minute 60 Minutes came, you're like, oh, shit, I'm caught. And they would literally catch you trying to run.
Yeah.
When did we lose that? What happened?
I don't know, but that's why I'm going to D.C. to freaking interview these fucking jackaloons because, I mean, somebody has to call them out for all their nonsense. And,
right.
And I agree with you. Nobody is.
And, you know, Lewis Black, brilliant, who I hope is feeling better. He went through some health stuff.
So. Oh, I love Lewis.
Love Lou. But Lou said when he was on The Daily Show, they said, why are you coming? Why do they ask, you know, comics? Why are people getting their news from Jon Stewart? And he was like, well, we don't want to do this job, but no one else will fucking do it. You know,
yeah.
It's come down. The truth is coming from comedians. And now if they get the truth from comedians, but if they don't like the joke, then they want to cancel you. Like Dave Chappelle, who I'm not going to go into the whole thing because I've been interviewed ad nauseum about it. But I will say this. My belief is half the people complaining about Dave Chappelle have not seen the special.
And that's what you said to me on my show. Because I admitted up front, I go, I haven't seen it. And you said, well, that's the key.
Yeah.
Because you got to watch it.
You got to watch it. You got to watch. And you have to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed when I read an article written by a black gay reporter who said that when Dave started the jokes, he turned it off. And it's like, well, if you didn't watch it to the end, you can't give an opinion. If I don't watch something to the, you know, we talk in sports, right? We're both sports fans. I can't watch the first half and then go to the bookie and say, all right, pay up.
Exactly.
They're up 48-0. Pay up. No, we got to play the second half.
Yep.
Because, you know, like Chicago the other night, they could score 21 points in the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, they still lost. But yeah. That does, you know what I mean?
I know. Fucking killed my bet.
He's a degenerate gambler, ladies and gentlemen. But we love him. It's so this thing with Ted Cruz, what do you think? I know your opinion of Ted Cruz, but and to me, Ted Cruz is... he's an idiot, and I don't mind you being an idiot, but I don't like when you get dangerous.
But here's the problem. He's a smart guy.
He's smart in manipulation. He knows how to manipulate the crowd. But this is like January 6th, right, when they rile up all of these crazy idiots, right-wing hate mongers, whatever. And then when they storm the Capitol, they're like, well, we didn't say storm the Capitol. So now he's talking about secede. And again, this is where Joe, I promise you, at no point is Joe sitting around saying, man, I wish they'd make me the king of Texas. I guarantee he's sitting there like, Ted, what the fuck? What? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But getting away from the Rogan thing.
I think he enjoys all the attention.
Hey, well, yeah, he does. It's our business. Listen, I beg audiences to cancel me. Every time I do a show, I'm like, would you
You have a comedy tour to
cancel me. Yes, I have a comedy tour. We're doing a show Friday night at the Mayo Performing Arts Center, Morristown, New Jersey. The show is called Cancel This.
And it's me, Tammy. She's a good friend of mine.
Tammy Pescatelli, Mitch Fatale. We are trying to get canceled so we can sell some damn tickets. Please. But now if people storm the capital of Texas or whatever, or shoot some, you know, Democratic leader in Texas, then Ted Cruz is like, well, I didn't say. Yes, you did. You talked about Texas seceding partly over giving people access to voting.
He also was one of the people that incited the insurrection. Don't forget.
Well, yeah.
He stood on top of a car and said, we will not go peacefully in the night.
Absolutely. Well,
like he's going to fucking raise his fist and do anything. They're all a bunch of cowards.
They're the biggest cowards. And, you know, it's to me, that's like the guys who carry the rifles into a grocery store. It's always a safe suburban grocery store. You ever notice that? It's never like a bodega in the hood. It's like, let's go to Ralph's in Altadena, not even in Altadena. They'd go in Pasadena or, you know.
Let me ask you this, Alonzo. This is another thing I'm sure you've seen, but I have to ask you. Paul Gosar.
Yeah.
Paul Gosar does an anime where he's stabbing AOC in the back. Now, if that were a Democrat.
It were reversed.
Yeah, they would be calling for that Democrat to be canceled
arrested.
Of all committees and.
Arrested.
And has to step down.
Arrested. Yeah. You'd be arrested.
Paul Gosar gets nothing.
Well, we've already seen this ridiculousness. We're going to move on from this. But that the Ted Cruz thing, though, I think that is something that should be prosecuted. And, you know, this is the other thing that they get away with. And I hate this. I hate that they have compromised the American flag.
Yep.
To be their flag.
Yes.
And they claim to love the country, and I've said this before, and you would be one of the people I'm talking about. Liberals, they claim liberals complain, this and that. We're mad because we know we could do better.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the anger comes from. We don't hate this country. We love this country more than you because we understand the Constitution and the principles this country was built on, and we know we could do better. Your thoughts on that? Can we do better?
Of course we can do better, but...
Not just theoretically. I'm saying, can we do better?
Sure. We could, first of all, get the John Lewis bill passed. You know, I mean, we should certainly stop all the voter suppression laws that are going on in this country, or trying to take votes out of people of color. And you know what? Joe Biden was at the... Paris Climate Accord or the G, I forget. Look, we're going to be under fucking water. The coastline's disappearing. Our kids. I mean, 1.5 degree goes up 1.5 degree. Sea life's already dying. I mean, at what point, Alonzo, why is it a partisan issue that climate change is going again? We have to believe the science. We have to. And that's how we could do better.
I'll tell you exactly why it's a partisan issue, because for one thing, they make everything a partisan issue.
Yep.
And this is where the Republican Party are masters of manipulation. And, you know, this goes back to Reagan, right? And they said under Reagan, what they did with the Republican Party, convince 50% of the population they're in the top 5% of the population. So now you have all these poor working people, okay, as Dave says, dusty white people, voting for policies that are against them. The Republicans don't want climate change because big business, huge corporations, pollution-generating businesses, energy business, et cetera, they don't want to change anything because they're making a fortune.
Yep.
So they make these people say, oh, well, this climate change thing, they're out to get your children, because it's always about the children, as you know. The gays are about, it's about the children and everything. Ant, a gay comic friend of mine, I think you know Ant.
Yeah, I love Ant.
Who I love.
Yeah.
Said one time, this guy was talking to him, all this gay stuff. Ant said, we're not recruiting. I thought it was the greatest line ever heard. He's like, we're not recruiting. And that was it. And it was so shut up, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what they're doing. They're in it for the money, okay? They make a fortune off of it. It was like Donald Trump. They weren't into all the crazy theories and all that nonsense, but they were into that deregulation, and suddenly they were blowing the tops off of mountains and chopping up every forest they want. That's what they wanted. They don't care about, you know, his nonsense and stupidity. These people are smarter than him, and they're like, we need an idiot up there who's not going to stop us from doing what we want to do. I want to switch gears.
Sure.
Again.
But it is said, Alonzo, that greed is more important than the health and livelihood of your children. You know, that money is more important to you than the earth, than the actual planet that your children's children are going to be living, that you don't give a fuck as long as you can buy a bigger house or a bigger boat.
We're so far beyond that argument. and this is why the next part I want to talk to you about, because maybe you can bring me back aboard. When you talk about that kind of greed, the billionaires, and this goes back to the Walton family who runs Walmart. And I mean, 20 years ago.
I was going
to
say John Boy?
No. This is 20 years ago. They were worth, when he died, when whatever his name was, Walton, the guy who started Walmart, when he died, each of his kids was worth $15 billion, jeez, right? Each kid. So my thing was, what can you buy with $15 billion that you can't buy with $14 billion? Mm-hmm. That stops you from tossing out $1 billion to pay your employees fairly and give them health care. Mm-hmm. Like if the, I don't know if there's four kids or six kids, whatever, but if each one of them kicked in $1 billion and suddenly working at Walmart became a good job, you got $20 an hour, you got health care, whatever. If you have $15 billion, I refuse to believe you will notice having $14 billion. I refuse to believe, and you talk about a bigger house. John, there isn't a house that big. There's not a house built. The most expensive house in the world is up at the top of Bel Air or something. They're asking $500 million for it, and they can't get it. But that's only half a billion. You got $14 billion. You know, Elon Musk is worth over $200 billion right now.
He's going to be the first trillionaire, they
say. Bezos is worth $180-something billion after the divorce, after giving away almost $100 billion, you know, and on and on. And Warren Buffett talks about it all the time. We have enough. Like Warren Buffett, it's like, look, there's nothing. There's nothing anymore. So when you talk about the greed, there's no way to talk to them. There's nothing you can do anymore. When you ask them to pay taxes, it's like they figured out if Elon Musk paid his fair share, if he paid taxes like you, me, and you know, the carpenter or the bricklayer or whatever, it would take him like a few hours to cover his tax bill. Like that's how fast he makes money. Like,
Yep. Good point.
Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, I'm a Clipper fan. He bought the Clippers for $2 billion in like May. By the start of the season, he had made the money back. Sure. Like that's how fast, because they have billions invested and it grows so fast. So it's not even an issue of greed anymore. I don't know what incentive. Well, I don't know how you talk to these people.
I'll tell you something. I experienced it firsthand. And I hate to say this, but if you're a big Howard Stern fan, but I work for the man. And it's an illness. Howard Stern is worth $1 billion, but yet he doesn't want to share the wealth at all because he wants to be worth $2 billion for his ego. I'm telling you, it's a sickness, and I think that's what happens to these rich people. They want to be the richest. You know, he wants to be the richest radio broadcaster of all time, but he doesn't want to share the wealth. If he gave him $1 million to each of his staff, it wouldn't affect them at all. But they don't. But they want to have more. And I'll give you an example. I was at one of his houses that he was renting in the Hamptons. Beautiful house on the beach. And he goes, yeah, I'm looking to buy a house in Hamptons. I go, Howard, how about this? No, it's not ostentatious enough. It doesn't say who I am enough. Now he's got a fucking $20 million house on the, you know, in Southampton with the fucking pool and, an elevator, bowling alley, two kitchens. I mean, it's an illness. They want to look like the rich. You know what I mean? It's
the great thing about that house, John, is you could have moved into it and he never would have known.
I know.
There's enough rooms that you could just say, like, stay at the other end of the house at all times. So, John, this is what we got about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
Give me some good news, okay? I talk about this on my podcast. My listeners know I'm always trying to find some good news. The best thing I got today on Instagram, somebody sent me a picture. You know what the boop picture is with animals, where they take a picture right from their nose and they look kind of stretched out? They call it a boop,
okay?
It's like if you can imagine tapping a dog on his nose with your camera, that's what a boop is. Someone sent me a boop picture of a baby giraffe, like from above, looking up. It's the cutest thing you've ever seen. And they were like, you needed something good today. John, give us who's paying attention. Give my audience some good news. Give us some hope, John. Anything.
Okay, well, how about the infrastructure bill passing?
Great.
That's great news for every freaking state. You know, and it was bipartisan. So, hey, isn't that good news that both the Republicans and the Democrats voted for something to make this country a better place so everybody could have broadband?
And I said they're going to upgrade.
And clean water?
Even those conspiracies, it's like, yeah, but with faster internet, you can spread your conspiracy theory faster. So even the QAnon should be happy about this. They can spread their conspiracies faster with broadband. That's great. That's good. That's some good news. Thank you. No, we need that. There are still people fighting it.
Here's some good news. Those that aren't getting vaccinated, they're the ones dying at a faster rate than people get vaccinated.
Cleaning up the gene pool. Yeah. You see people?
That's a hypocrisy. Alonzo, these Republicans are killing their own people.
They really are. Are you familiar with the Herman Cain Award?
No.
The Herman Cain, they've named this. It's a thing on Reddit, and it's what they give the people, these anti-vaxxers. Like in Florida, they had a few of them, right? The right-wing radio guys who are yelling, blah, blah, and then they die. Just like Herman Cain was like, this ain't real, this or that, the other. And he went to a Trump rally, and he got it, and he died. And individually, their deaths are tragic. It affects their family, and they may have kids or grandkids, whatever. And that is sad. But you signed up for this, and not only did you sign up for it, like you were saying, you're taking people with you. If you're, especially these right-wing radio guys, because their listeners are fanatics, that not fans, fanatics.
Yep.
And so you have all of these people. And so, yeah, so if you go on Reddit, there's a thing called the Herman Cain Awards for these people who, and I say, you know what they're doing? They volunteer to die.
Two more pieces of good news. This just in, Arby's is releasing a new brand of vodka. So how great is that? You could drive through Arby's and get a roast beef sandwich and fries and a bottle of vodka.
See, now that's real.
That's good news, Alonzo.
See, that's real good news. That I like.
And here,
I don't even drink, and I like the idea of Ving Rhames hustling vodka now.
Now here's another piece of good news. Cobra Kai's fourth season is coming out in December.
There you go, people. Netflix. Good news. And you know what's great about that, about Cobra Kai? Because I watch Squid Games, and I love Squid Games, but it just made me think, you know, there's no show, book, or movie about the future where it ends well.
I know.
Everything is a zombie apocalypse, or the air is poisoned, or the sun has burned. Like, there's no movie like, you know, we're going to figure it out. And we're going to, no, they're like, no, we're going to be killing each other on TV, you know. So, which Squid Games, by the way, I don't know if you watched it, but it's good. It's really good. But no, that is good news. Cobra Kai was easy.
I love it.
And nobody got, you know, nobody got killed. There wasn't any major. Yeah, we can go with that. I'll take that as some. No, absolutely. That is good news from John Melendez. John, tell everyone where to find you, how to listen to your podcast, because your podcast is great. And you do interview, besides comedians and entertainers and your friends, you interview newsmakers and congresspeople.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to us. How do they find you?
I had James Carville on, who made world news when he said Trump was going to get his fat ass beat in 2020, which he was accurate on. But I've had the late, great Ed Asner on. I've had so many political pundits on, and I've had Congressman David Cicilline, been Carolyn Maloney and our own Eric Swalwell and Ted Lieu. It's the Stuttering John podcast. It's on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday from noon to 2 California time, you know, PST. And I'm starting a new one. I think every Friday it's going to be called What's Bugging Me About Hollywood. And this Friday's edition is going to be all the time I spent with the Kardashians, and it's going to be a very, very, very interesting hour listen. But I love having you on. I've had Jay Leno on my show, Larry the Cable Guy, Rainn Wilson. I mean, Tammy's been on a bunch of times, and I have had, all you guys are great.
I hope to one day reach the level that I'm bugging you in Hollywood. I want to get on that list.
You're too nice of a guy, Alonzo.
See, I can't. I got to get on that list. That's where you want to be.
John, I'll tell you one piece of bad news. I was at the Laugh Factory in Vegas. I did a week there. And I come out to my car, and I guess I didn't lock it. And I don't notice until I get home, but I have an extra phone because it has my set on. I like to listen to the
right. Mm-hmm.
Someone stole like my. It was like a 2000 iPhone. It was like the first version of
right.
iPhone,
like the one that the signal doesn't even work for it anymore.
It has no SIM card. It was almost a flip phone. It's like I couldn't believe it, and the only reason I found out is my friend, a comedian friend of mine. He asked me for a couple of dick pills, and it turns out I had my emergency dick pills in my glove. So this guy took my dick pills too. So then, Alonzo, just today I found out. I went in my trunk, and I look because you and I both like to ride motorcycles. Mm-hmm. I have my New York Giants motorcycle helmet. The motherfucker took my fucking football helmet out of there, my motorcycle helmet.
I feel for you. There's nothing worse than thieves.
So we got a New York fan who suffers from erectile dysfunction and doesn't know how old this fucking house is. Too stupid to know how old my phone is.
And the thing is, everything he stole has no value to him.
Yes.
You take it to the pawn shop, they're going to be like, what the hell is wrong with you? What the hell? Whatever pawn shop is in Vegas, I hope you're listening to this podcast and you get John back. No, thieves suck. Thieves suck. Man, thank you so much, John.
Thanks, Alonzo.
I love talking to you, really. This was very cool. To my audience, look him up, John Melendez, Stuttering John. Just Google him, everything he does. Like I say, comedy, podcast, from funny to serious to informed to angry. He's all of that. John, thank you so much. I'm going to be this weekend. I'm going to be, as I said, in Morristown, New Jersey at the Mayo Performing Arts Center with Tammy Pescatelli and Mitch Fatale. Looking forward to doing that show. And I will see you out there. Thanks for the live support. Everybody, stay safe. Keep laughing.
Oh, and Alonzo, you can follow me at Stuttering John M on Twitter.
Stuttering John M on Twitter. Yeah. Listen, check out some of his Twitter fights because they're just fun. He's very good with trolls. John Melendez, thank you, my brother.
Thanks, Alonzo. I love you, pal.